to share the word of God with you. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll read from verse 13 to 21. Again, we have Bibles. If you need a Bible, someone can get one to you. Matthew 16, 13 to 21. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." 15. "But what about you?" he asks. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And 20. "Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah." 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed." I want you to underline that word, "must be killed." "That he must be killed, and on the third day, he will be raised back to life." The word of God. Father, we thank you for today. I pray you open the eyes of our heart that we will understand the revelation on which your church is built. Thank you for your word, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't want to maybe blow a lot of trumpets, but I want to say since I moved to the United States and met this man, I have grown a lot in my ministry, I've grown a lot in my spiritual life, I've learned a lot, and God is still doing a work of growth in me, amen? Pastor a church, a Baptist church in Cameroon, and most of the things we were talking in Sunday school were some of the things that I was teaching. Went through that, it was hell, but God delivered me, and I love the people, and I'm still praying for them, and I'm still ministering to them. And God called me in 2011 to plant a church, a new church. It was hard on me and my wife because we had nothing. We had no money. We had nowhere to start from. But God called us and said, "You have to start a church." And it was a temptation for me because it was just like 2 years after I resigned pastoring the Baptist church. That temptation of sheep stealing or taking people who were following you in the Baptist to start a church was huge. And God said, "That's not what I'm asking you to do." And I sat on my bed one night and I printed out invitations and I told my wife, "We're going to start the church." And that's what God said. And we printed out invitations and we made it clear to people that we are not accepting anyone from our former church. And I was so hard on that because that was the instructions God gave me. I am not asking you to go take your former Christians and start a church. I'm asking you to go start a church from zero. And we did that. And we wrote a letter, official letter, to the Baptist church where a pastor and asked for two guys, officially requested two young guys that I brought up in the Lord. And I said, "I need these kids to work with me." And the Baptist church said, "No, And they asked those guys, if you want to go, you can go, but we are not giving you the permission to go. And so we started Grace Fellowship. Grace Fellowship started on a Sunday with about 80 people in fellowship. But the next Sunday, we had about 30-something because most of them were people we invited to come launch the ministry with us. So the next Sunday, we had 30-something people, and almost all of them were people who were not going to church. And Grace Fellowship grew to be a congregation of about 300-something people in less than 2 years. And I started understanding why God said, I want you to start a church, not to do a transfer of a church. About 300 people, and the first attack, the first hit we had was from the government. There were Sundays who would sit in the congregation, and people's strange faces would come in and sit, and they're not like listening to the sermon, they're just spying around. And we did not know that they were from the government. And we had that like a couple of four Sundays, and before we knew it, the church was ordered to close. There was a decree, and in that decree, there were a list of churches that were ordered to shut the doors. And Grace Fellowship, the Church of God, was among those that list. We resisted, but at the end of the day, we left. We closed it down and moved to a new location. And now because we put that building in a place that belongs to the government in Cameroon, any land that is marshy, is that a word in English? Swampy area belongs to the government, so no one has the right to build or to do anything there. But that is the only place we had at that time to put the church building there. We put that church building, and the persecution started that are moving here. And before we know it, 2 years ago, we started being hinted that we are supposed to get out of that place. And I want to praise God that the church of God is not a building. Amen? You can come here and bulldoze this building down. The church of God stands. It is alive, it is active, and it's marching forward. And so when they say, you need to get out of that place because it belongs to the government, I share with Pastor Ted. And guess what? God constructed a new building. Amen? He constructed a new building through some of you and through you here with your prayers. And I praise God for that. So from 2011 up to now, the church of Grace Fellowship, the church in Cameroon, Cornerstone, the church in this valley, the church in America is undergoing persecution. But one thing is sure, that the church will never die. And this is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, that since the days of John the Baptist, this was Jesus speaking. It says, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered what? Violence. And he said, only those who take it by force will get it. So the kingdom of God is still under attack. The enemy has not given up yet. The enemy is still fighting. The enemy is still attacking. The enemy is still attacking the church. It's still attacking people. It's still telling people leave. It's still telling people that's not the right place. It's still attacking every blessed day. But there is one thing that makes my heart happy. Jesus said, I will build my church. I love the possessive pronoun, my church. It is not Pastor Ted's church. It is not my church. It's not Pastor Dan's church. It's not Pastor David. It's not any of our church. It's the church of God. And the Bible says that he will build it. He is presently building his church. And we don't even care about the amount of persecution, amount of name-calling, amount of blackmailing, sabotage. It is not going to destroy the church of God because he has pulled down all principalities. All forces of darkness. He has pulled down the strategy of hell. He has pulled down every attack of the enemy. And his church is standing stronger more than ever before. And the church in America, regardless of the enemy attacking and making the church look like weak, the church of God will forever stand firm. Amen? So let's get to the text. This morning I want to talk to you under the title, Build My Church. And Jesus is the one doing the work of the building, not Pastor Ted. Pastor Ted is simply a shepherd, and on the shepherd that he is sacrificing his life, he is obeying Jesus. I am obeying Jesus. Dan is obeying Jesus. Pastor David is obeying Jesus in trying to lead you to where God wants his people to be. And that is what leadership is all about. I want to borrow this from a book that I read. It said, leadership is knowing where God wants his people to be, taking the initiative in reliance on God's power to lead his people where he wants them to be. That is what all these pastors here are doing. They're simply obeying God and taking God's people, not where they want these people to be, but to where God wants his people to be. And because Jesus is the one building his church. So let's get to the text. Jesus was moving around and he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? Because when he was moving, people were saying a lot of things. There were a lot of suspicion. This could be the Messiah. This could be a prophet. This could be this. And he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And they gave him the answer. Jesus wants you this morning to tell him who you are. John, Michael, whatever your name is, who you think he is. Not what America thinks he is, amen? Because what is happening today is that the law, the state, the senators, or whatever the lawmakers are defining how the church is supposed to function. You may not know it, but it is there. They are secretly doing it because there are certain things that are happening in America now that even as a pastor, when you say it, it becomes offensive. And so Jesus wants you to tell him who you say he is. And he turned to his disciples and he said, who do you say I am? Forget about what these guys are saying. Forget about what the people out there are saying. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, a great guy, he said, yes, sir, I know the answer. He said, I know you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Christ the Lord. And the word Christ is an anointed one. He is saying, you are the anointed person of who God is. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. And Jesus stopped. And Jesus knew that was the right answer he was looking for. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. Because only God, only my Father can reveal this to you. Now, the answer that Peter gave is key to the New Testament. It's key to the inauguration of the church. Look at what it says. It says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was a revelation. It came from God. Not from Peter himself, but Jesus confirmed that it came from God. And at that point, there was a paradigm shift of what people see Jesus to be and what the church is going to be. Jesus shifted his ministry. And his ministry at this time, because before this time, Jesus spent all the time feeding the people, performing miracles, healing the people, and teaching the people. But from this moment up, Jesus started saying something different. It was the first time that Jesus mentioned the word church. When Simon Peter said these things, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. So the question is, what rock is that? I have heard and I've actually taught that it was about the faith of Peter. It can be true. But he's talking about upon the revelation of who he is, the church of God will be built. Amen? Upon the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah, the church is going to stand on that revelation. So the revelation of who Jesus is the foundation of this church. Is the foundation of the church in America. And any church that is standing on any pillar that is not about the revelation of who Jesus is, that church is an occultic gathering. Quote me, that church is a society. That church is a social gathering. If the foundation of the church is not built, it's not on who Jesus is, if the foundation of the church is about how you can become prosperous, how you can receive great healing, if the foundation of the church is on performing of miracle, something is missing. Amen? The foundation of the church is upon the revelation of who Jesus is. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, what does the Bible say there? Where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no revelation, people perish. So there is something about this revelation. Jesus looked at Peter and said, only God could reveal this to you. And it is upon this revelation that I will build my church. Amen? That is not all Jesus said. He did not say that I will build my church. If Jesus could say, I will build my church and put a full stop there, there would be a lot of doubt as a pastor in my heart. But Jesus said, I will build my church and no gate of hell will prevail against it. I will build my church and no strategy of hell will prevail against it. I will build my church and no force of darkness will prevail against it. So the power of God, upon that revelation, he brings in his power, put together with that revelation, and he's saying, I will build my church. The church of God stands upon the revelation of who Jesus is, but then it manifests through the power of Jesus Christ. And that is why the force of darkness, they are fighting every day. And they are not going to win, amen? They are not going to win. And Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, the rock of that revelation, I am going to build my church. Coincidentally, I don't know. I didn't study this well. But the name Peter means what? Rock, right? It's a hard rock. And upon this rock, upon the rock of the revelation that Jesus Christ is the anointed one that came representing God, upon that revelation, my church will be built. And then he said something else. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That blows my mind. Okay, look at the tense there. I will. So what is happening? It's not saying, I am giving you right now. He said, I will give you the keys. So Jesus is not yet ready to hand the keys. Somebody got keys? I need keys. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys. So what is that? Hello? What is that? Promise. Okay? So he is giving a promise, but what kind of key is he talking about? Put your question mark there. We'll get there. What kind of key is Jesus talking about? By the way, how many of you locked your doors this morning? I key my door. And I key my car. And when I get back, I need to open my car. When I get home, I need to open my door. So why do we do that? Why is Jesus using the word key here? Because there is something that is locked up. And it needs somebody to open that something. It needs somebody to open the door. And that's why Jesus is saying, I will give you the key. He said, whatever you will bind, will be bound. And whatever you will lose, will be loose. And by the way, I was just sharing this morning. I look up this in the Greek Bible. He is talking of something that has already happened in heaven. So the binding and the casting on the losing is something that has already happened in heaven. So when he calls us and we submit to him and we are binding, we are doing in conformity to what is already taking place in heaven. Amen? Some version says, what you will bind is something that must have been bound in heaven. And so we are just submitting and doing what it has taken place in heaven. He said, what you will bind will be bound in heaven, and what you will be loose in heaven. Then, 20, he ordered them not to tell. zip your mouth. Okay, Jesus, you just asked us to tell you who we think you are, and we gave you the right answer, and you're telling us not to tell somebody? How strange is that? Okay, this will be a sermon for another day. But Jesus ordered them not to tell somebody. There will be a place that he will ask them, you can now tell somebody. Amen? Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain. He began to tell them. He began to teach them. He began to let them know that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. The death of Jesus was not a surprise to him. Amen? And he had you in mind. He had you in mind. He had you in mind. He had us in mind. He said, I must. So what is that? I must suffer these things and I must die. So this is just when he asked them not to tell anybody. And then out of a sudden, he started telling them, I will die. What will you do? Peter was so smart, he pulled him by the side and said, hey, started rebuking Jesus and said, you must not die. Don't say that again. What did Jesus say? Get here behind me, Satan. Because the mission of Jesus was ongoing. The reason I believe, I'm not so sure, but the reason I believe that Jesus asked them not to tell these people or to tell anyone was because the revelation would be powerless if there is no death, if there is no crucifixion, if there is no resurrection. That revelation of who Jesus is will be empty if Jesus will not die on the cross and come back on the third day. And so he is still going to the shopping mall for shopping. And do you know why he was going to shop? He was going to purchase you. He was going to go and buy you. And Jesus had no money, but he had something, his blood. Can I hear an amen? He had his blood. That was the only thing he had with him to purchase you. And he is telling these guys, please don't tell anybody, but the time is coming when I go and finish what my assignment is, I will let you blow it out. Tell the whole world that I am the Messiah. And now this passage is critical in understanding the book of Acts. You see the way the book of Acts starts? It starts by telling us, Theophilus, about things that were written and said, and then he quickly moves on to say that they should go be his witnesses. So there is a connection between this passage and the book of Acts. So let's get to Acts chapter 2. And you're going to see how the church was announced and suspended in this Matthew passage, and then when Jesus moved to the book of Acts, he now says, it is time to plant the church. Acts chapter 2, from verse 22 to 24. That was Pentecost, 40 days after his resurrection. Jesus commissioned them. And this is what he said, 22. Fellow Israel, that was Peter speaking. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostle, brothers, what shall we do? So I'm going to mention a few things here. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus is now saying, it is time to tell people who I am. It is time to tell people that I was the Messiah. It is time to let loose that revelation. It is time to blow the trumpet. It is time to go out and be my witnesses. It is time to announce the good news that I am the Christ. Jesus is saying, it is time. And now, what did he promise Peter? That I will build my church upon this revelation. So what has just happened? The passage we just read was the first sermon ever that Peter preached. The revelation. Peter actually mentioned that Jesus was the Messiah in his sermon. And when Peter started preaching, Peter laid hold of the key to the kingdom. And what was he doing? He started unlocking the doors of hearts that were tied, that were locked. He started opening doors. He started opening doors. And when the Bible says that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They started opening doors to the kingdom. So the key to the kingdom is the revelation of who Jesus is. It is that same revelation on which the church stands right now. And that Jesus is saying that we have the power, we have the keys. We have the keys into the heart of those drug addicts. We have the keys into the heart of that hardened criminal. We have the keys to these people, into their hearts. That when we share the revelation of who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit comes on them and they will cut right into their hearts. And they will say, what can we do now? People are dead without Jesus. And God is saying, I have given you the keys. We have the keys, friends. We have the keys to open the doors of the kingdom of heaven. Somebody, Pastor Ted, was saying this morning, the kingdom of heaven is not like a picture that we think is a beautiful building like this. The kingdom of God is in the heart of man. The kingdom of God is in your heart. Because when we open that door, what comes in is the kingdom of God. Jesus comes in. And he is saying, Peter, you got the keys now. You can go ahead, blow the trumpet. Go crazy. Let loose that revelation. But before then, he asked them to keep it secret. Because he did not finish shopping. And after he went on the cross, that's where he went shopping. He shed his blood. And he bought you with his blood. And he said, you can go ahead now. And tell people that I am the Messiah. We got power. We got a lot of work to do, but we got power to do that work. Amen? We got power to unlock the kingdom of God and let people in. Think about, it says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose will be loose in heaven. Do we really understand that? We don't. He's talking about the power and the authority invested in us. That we have the power to save souls. We have the power to open the doors for people to come into the kingdom. But there is something that is so saddening. Is that sometimes we stand at the door. We are not going in and we are not letting anybody in. People look at our lives. They don't see Jesus, but we profess Jesus. We are not going in and we are not letting people in. Jesus is saying that power is to let people run in, is to let people flow in. That when you go to Super One and see somebody that you're concerned about their salvation, he is saying you got the keys. You got the keys right in your hand and that you can open the door and these people will come to my saving knowledge. And now anyone that is seated here, because I'm talking to people who are alive here, anyone that is seated here this morning and you are here and your foundation is not based on the revelation of who Jesus is, you need to rise and say, God, I'm standing on the wrong foundation. We talk about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. If your foundation was kind of an event, and that you are not standing on the revelation of who Jesus is, and that you've completely surrendered to Him, you need to do that, even today. But I came this morning to say Jesus is building His church. Jesus is building Cornerstone. Jesus is building Grace Fellowship. Jesus is building the church in America. It is not the pastor. He is obeying God. But Jesus is the one doing His work. But at the same time, He is saying, I want you to partner with me. And He's saying, these are the keys. Take. Unlock the door to the kingdom and let people run in. Do we know the amount of power that He has invested in us? This revelation is what should comfort us. When we see the church going through hard times, when we see the church going through persecution, the comforting thing is that Jesus is building His church. I don't care if I walk in here one Sunday and I find two persons seated here. I will know that Jesus is building His church. Amen? And the enemy will try to hit us so hard on that. He will say, oh, how many people have loved the church so far? You know what? Jesus is building His church. Your responsibility is to take the key, unlock the kingdom, the door, and let people in. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. Would you today make this revelation known to the dying world? It's my call for us today. It's my challenge for us today. That God, I have come to fully understand the foundation on which the church is built, and it's about the revelation of who You are. And I want to take this revelation and run with it. I want the dying world to know who You are. Because I know that everyone seated here, if you are standing on that true revelation, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. I love what NIV says. It says, NIV says, will not overcome. What does that mean? It means that the gates of hell will try to fight, but the power of God will prevail. The strategies of hell will not overcome. The persecution of hell will not overcome. All the kingdoms and principalities and demons and all the forces of darkness come together. They will not overcome because God is building His church. Will you rise today and say, God, empower me more so I can share this revelation. I can open the doors of the kingdom and let people in. As I invite the worship team to come up, if that is your heart desire, I will invite you to come up here as we pray together. The closing song today is a celebration song that we're going to lift Jesus high. Are you standing on the revelation of who Jesus is? If you're standing on that revelation again and your heart desire is to run with this vision, I will invite you to come up front as we pray together. And if you're not standing on this revelation and you want Jesus to come into your life, you want Him to be the Lord of your life, that door is open this morning for you to come to Him. He's building His church. And I'm privileged to be part of it. You're privileged to be bought. He bought you with His blood. If truly you have that good news, you should be excited to say, God, I want to tell somebody. I want to share this with somebody. I do not want the gates of hell to prevail against my brother, my sister. I want us to rise. And I just want you to just look around you. Just look around you and see the miracles of God in this room. And I just want you to go to somebody. Pray that the gates of hell will not prevail against that person, because that person is part of you. Walk to somebody, please, if you can. And if you're praying for somebody that the enemy is trying to challenge and pull apart and take away, I want you to pray for that person as well. Go to somebody. Pray for strength that we will overcome. The church of God is standing strong. As the worship team will do this song, I just want you to spend this time praying. Please, go to somebody and pray.